lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum. Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, we once again welcome you in our program Lives of the Companions. In this program we select one Sahabi Rasul, companion of the Prophet, and we talk about life and legacy of great Sahabi Rasul. Inshallah, today we'll be talking about Abdurrahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala an, which we also covered in last episode. Inshallah, we'll further talk on this beautiful personality. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Before we proceed towards our topic of the day, let's make a few good intentions. Shaykh al-Tariqat, Amir of Ahl al-Sunnah, Hazrat Allama, Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Dhamat Barakatumul Aliyah has given us a beautiful mindset that we should make good intentions before we perform any permissible task or any good deed. As I am presenting this program, I make this intention, I will present it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can make this intention, you will watch this program from start to end, you'll remember what you learn, act upon and pass this knowledge onto others too. Respected viewers, alhamdulillah, there is another beautiful point that we should remember. The more intentions we can make for a particular task, the higher the reward we can attain. So you can add as many good intentions as possible, inshallah, so that we can add as much as reward possible to our book of deeds. Alhamdulillah, today joins Muhammad Waseem Abbas Attari in this program. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Waseem bhai, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal, jami how are you?
Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. MashaAllah, last week we covered the Zat of Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala and the personality from Ashara Mubashara, and we covered a few of the elements from the life and legacy of this great personality. Where would you like to start from today, inshallah?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There's so much to discuss about Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, and as we go through his seerah, subhanallah, amazing pearls of wisdom, amazing pearls of piety, amazing pearls as a whole, you can see we come across in the seerah of Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu. We spoke about Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu being a heaven dweller, a paradise dweller, and how the Prophet ﷺ himself gave the glad tiding to Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu of Jannah, and not only Prophet ﷺ, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself also gave the glad tiding of Jannah to Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, along with sending salam to him. The first narration, alhamdulillah, which is before me, mentions the companionship of several companions, that who are they going to be accompanied with in paradise. A beautiful narration that enlightens our heart further with the reverence, with the love of Sahaba Ikram Ali Muridwan. And it also mentions regarding Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu. And this narration is mentioned by the elite companion Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu anhu himself, where he says that once the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam entered home, and he said to the mother of the faithful, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, shall I not give you a glad tiding?
Right.
To which he replied that, why not, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he replied that your father, meaning Abu Bakr, is Jannati, he is paradise dweller. And in paradise, his rafiq, his companion, will be Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then he says that Umar is paradise dweller, and his companion in paradise will be Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. Then he carries on to say that Uthman is paradise dweller, and I myself will be his rafiq, his companion in paradise. Subhanallah. And Ali is also, Ali is paradise dweller, and his rafiq, his companion in Jannah, will be Yahya bin Zakariya alayhim as-salam. And Talha is paradise dweller, his companion will be Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam in paradise. Zubair is paradise dweller, and his rafiq, his companion will be Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam in paradise. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas, he is paradise dweller, and his rafiq will be Sayyidina Sulaiman bin Dawood alayhim as-salam in paradise. And then he carries on to say that Sa'id bin Zaid, his paradise developed, and his companion will be Musa bin Imran alayhi salam in paradise. And Abdurrahman bin Auf, his paradise developed, and who's his Rafiq, who's Sayyidina his companion? Sayyidina Isa bin Maryam alayhi salam. And Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anh, his paradise developed, and his Rafiq, his companion will be Sayyidina Idris alayhi salam in paradise. And then he carries on to say that, O Aisha, I'm the chief of Mursaleen, and your father is Abdul Siddiqeen, and you are Ummul Mu'mineen. Allahu Akbar. In this one narration, we come to know of the eminence, the greatness of several Sahaba Kiram Ali Muridwan, as well as Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidatun Aisha Siddiqa, Tayyiba Tahira, Zahida, Abida, Aba Mada, radiallahu ta'ala, anha. And we also come to know of the greatness of Abdurrahman bin Auf, radiallahu anha, that again, he alayhi salatu wasalam has been given the glad tiding of being paradise developed by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Not only that, a prophet of Allah will be his companion in paradise, who's none other than Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, who's amongst Anbiya Ulul Azm, who's amongst the most elite prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What great rank, what great eminence Abdurrahman bin Auf radiyallahu anhu, he himself possesses. Now, if we look at this narration, Rizwan Bey, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioning about someone, taking his name by his blessed tongue in a positive manner, this in itself is the biggest of the honors, biggest of the compliments that a person can ever have and would love to depart this world with. But Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, at several occasions we see the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam praising him, giving him the glad tidings and guaranteeing him the glad tidings of paradise. And in this very narration, we come to know that Isa alayhi salam will be his companion in paradise, and undoubtedly he radiallahu anhu is a paradise dweller. And through this narration, we also come to know the rank of Abdul Bashir Ba'd al-Anbiya, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and of a mother of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, where Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself said to her that you are Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of believers.
No doubt at all. Respective viewers of Madani Sharon, we're talking about Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala, and what a faith refreshing narration we heard about this great personality. Wasim Basbi, there is another beautiful hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has mentioned about Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala, his fortune, his sharafat, his azmat, his majesty,
nobility,
and his nobility. That is what reflects from this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah alayhi sallallahu salam. Prophet of Allah alayhi sallallahu salam has been reported to have said, Abdurrahman ibn Auf Sayyidun min Sadatil Muslimin.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. And he is Sardar, the leader of the Shurafa, so the noble Muslims. So this is the great status this great personality possesses, that even amongst the Muslims, those they are noble Muslims. And he is Sardar of those noble Muslims. Allahu Akbar. And this great leadership which has been assigned and granted by the tongue of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam is to Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu
ta'ala. It is one way, as you were mentioning this narration, I was just thinking about the term nobility.
Yeah.
That what exactly would it mean? I would have a different understanding, you would have a different understanding. And the term nobility in itself is very noble. It's an amazing rank, is an amazing status. Now, how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would understand it, of course he would understand it duly, because the knowledge of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam surpasses the entire creation.
True.
That is above the entire creation. Now imagine the trait of nobility, how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would have in his blessed mind, how he would have the definition of it before him, the term noble. And then amongst the noble Muslims, subhanallah, Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu being the leader.
No doubt it is itself a great honor for Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf having a title from the court of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. At the same time, Wasim Basmi, there are certain hadiths which have been mentioned. They are specific to different Sahaba Kiram. And these distinctions, they have been given by Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Alhamdulillah, there are various Sahaba Kiram, and Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam made different compliments and appreciated them and gave them alqabat, titles and beautiful words for them, and which definitely is the distinction of each and every Sahabi Rasul, subhanallah. And one of them is Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu an, being Sardar of all the Shurafa of Muslimin, mashallah.
Subhanallah. It's not just for no reason that he radiallahu an possesses his rank. When we look at his love for the Prophet, love for the Ahlul Bayt, love for the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, how devoted he was towards them despite being one of the richest businessmen of the era, a person is lost for words when you look at his seerah. Normally it is seen as one way, whenever we have wealth, whenever we get some kind of prominence in this world, we tend to lose track, we tend to distance ourselves away from the right path. But Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, despite being one of the greatest businessmen, the loyalty, the devotion he expressed in the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam towards Ummahatul Mu'mineen, towards the Ahlul Bayt,
serving Sadat,
serving Sadat, that was second to none. Wow. And this was testified by none other than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself. As at one occasion the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that after me, he who would serve my azwaj, my noble wives, who would it be? He would be Sadiq wal Bar, meaning he would be a truthful person and a righteous person. So Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, it is stated that after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he truly proved to be the actual servant, in other words, of Ummahatul Mu'mineen. That whenever Ummahatul Mu'mineen would need to go to the journey of Hajj or anyway, then he radiallahu anhu, he would prove to be a devoted, a loyal guard for them, a loyal support for them. Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiyallahu anhun, for them, he would make arrangements for their wailing. He would make arrangements for their rest
protection.
And protection, wailing, rest, and ensure that they don't fear, they don't experience any kind of interference, any kind of disturbance
discomfort
in the arrangements of not only their comfort, but also their veiling. This is very important, Rizwan.
Yeah,
their veiling, which is an integral part of Islam. And when it comes to the
mother
chastity
of
the mothers of believers, subhanAllah, who would be more chaste than them? So Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu made special arrangements for their veiling, for their rest. And how it would be that during the journey, he radiallahu anhu would place a thick green garment, a shawl, over the saddle of the
cloth,
saddle of the camel upon which they would be riding. And he would ensure that whenever they would want to rest, it is at a safe place, and the entrance to it is only one, so that there's no interference, no disturbance to the rest of Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiyallahu anhun. This way, he not only financially, he radiallahu anhu also supported them, also assisted them, also presented himself from this perspective as well, which again is a great learning curve, great lesson for the wealthy people who, I'm talking about those who financially help the deen, but when it comes to assist physically the religion, then they're not seen anyway near. So we should learn from the seerah of Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, where he was fully devoted to Ahlubayt-e Karam, to Azwaj-e-Mutahharat, and left a great legacy for all of us, that how should we also be devoted towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and towards the purest of the household.
Yes, my dear Islamic brothers, beautiful message that we need to have this mindset to serve the family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And especially the message what we have learned, you see, one is serving with our wealth, one is serving with our physical
capability,
whatever we have got. But nowadays, Wasim must be, it is seen that because Sadat, those they are family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, from the family of the Prophet, for them sadaqah is not allowed. They cannot take sadaqat wajibah. And what actually happens then, when it comes to serve them, we need to have a portion of our wealth, our mal, and we need to find out if there are certain sadat, we need to give them. We need to have certain amount of money which we should separate from the wealth, and we should present them as a hadiyah, as a gift, right, to the sadat. And can you imagine that, how Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam would become happy
and thank them for accepting it?
Yeah, definitely.
Thank them for giving us the honor to serve them.
And we heard that, what are the barakat, what are the blessings, subhanAllah, when you serve the family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Inshallah, we'll come back to one beautiful narration where Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam himself presented an opportunity to serve the family of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And then who was the one who came first? And that's what we are learning, the life and legacy of Sahaba Kiram alayhi ridwan. But now it's the time to include one segment in our program, and the segment is Message of a Scholar. Let's include that segment and watch and listen carefully what message is there for all of us. to follow, listen, and practice. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
I don't know what mistake I have done, which has become reason of my sufferings. Wow, what great thinking do you possess? Don't say that which mistake I have done. Instead, say which mistake have I not done. Yes, brothers, we are indulged in all sorts of sins and immoralities, aren't we? Have we forgotten our own sins? Have we forgotten our own mistakes? Have you forgotten abusing others? Have you forgotten backbiting? Have you forgotten ill-talking? Have you forgotten tale-telling? For those who fornicate, have you forgotten fornication? For those who drink alcohol, have you forgotten drinking? For those who distress parents, have you forgotten distressing your parents? For those who take or give bribery, have you forgotten bribe? For those who take or give in trust, have you forgotten riba, one of the worst sins? Don't you remember selling alcohol, running pubs, clubs and casinos? Don't you remember oppressing others or instructing others to oppress? Then you say we don't know what mistake we've done, which has become reason of our suffering? Isn't it quite strange what you're talking, that you don't know what mistake have you done? At the time of Fajr Salah, kept sleeping. Isn't it a sin? You say that what mistake have I done? You're shaving your beard, trimming less than a fist. Then you say what mistake have you done? You're hurting others' feelings, you're causing them harms, and yet you say, what mistake have you done? Think how brave have you become in sinning. Whenever any calamity befalls, any problem comes to us, we don't think that it could be because of my own sins. We start shifting blames on others. Maybe it's because of him or her. Pious person said, whenever my donkey starts behaving weird, I consider his weird behavior is the reason of my sins. This is the mentality of pious ones. Of course, it's their humility. But what is our state? We start shifting blames on others. He or she could have done magic, this, that, the other. Oh, my dear, why don't you consider this to be curse of your own sins? Whatever calamity befalls is due to our own sins. May Allah protect us from all sorts of calamities and problems.
Lives of the companions,
respected brothers, before going to the message, the segment which we learned from a dubbed clip of Haji Imran Attari, Hafizahullah, and mashallah, what a beautiful message was given across regarding that sometimes we think that we, what mistake we have done, that we are finding difficulties and problems in our life. I think how beautifully he elaborated. We have done many, many mistakes. This phrase, saying this way, is not an appropriate phrase to say, but we should reflect upon the mistakes and sins we have been committing throughout our lives. It is again karma fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that yet we are surviving and we are living. And mashallah, you've already heard what was explained. Before going towards that segment, we were talking about serving Sadat, serving the family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Wasim Basbi, Amir Mu'mineen Hazrat Umar Farooq Azam radiyallahu ta'ala, and he writes and he narrates this. He says that once I saw Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wasallam, he was present in the blessed house of Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and the Sayyidina Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, and they were hungry. When Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam looked at them, and that moment he said to Sahaba Ikram and Ibn Ridwan that who will get the opportunity to serve us?
Allah.
Allahu Akbar. At that very moment, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala an, he came and he brought in a tray loaves of bread and halwa, a kind of sweet dish. And subhanAllah, he presented in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now upon this, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam gave a dua to Abdul Rahman and Auf radiallahu ta'ala. What a beautiful dua it is, subhanAllah. Allah Azza wa Jal is enough for your affairs of this world. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough for the affairs of this world for you, and I am guarantor of the affairs of hereafter.
Subhanallah.
Your affairs of hereafter, I am the guarantor. Who is taking the guarantee? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who is Shafi'i Umam, subhanallah. Who will do Shafa'a on the day of judgment? Who will intercede for us on the day of judgment? So, Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf, he got this glad tiding in this world that Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam took the guarantee for the affairs of the hereafter. And subhanallah, the matters of this world, who is Karsas, Allahu Akbar, who is enough for Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what you get, I was talking about, when you serve Sadat-e Kiram, when you serve the family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the reward is immense. And this is what we learn, Allahu Akbar. And this is what was, you see, taken, the glad tiding or the blessings or the barakah which were received by serving Sadat-e Kiram. And I think probably this was the reason, as you also mentioned later, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam's family, which was protected, which was guarded, which was served, which was helped in any form or shape which was possible in the best manner possible by Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala, could be one of the reasons of this beautiful dua. And he had known that what it matters and what it means to serve Sadat-e Kiram. And subhanallah, and throughout his life he did. And we also come to know that he was not only serving Sadat-e Kiram, the family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but Ummahatul Mu'mineen, because that is also family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So respected viewers of Madani Channel, again, the lesson what we learn is that we need to have that passion to serve Sadat. We need to have that passion to serve, to do khidmat of the members who are from the progeny of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, who are from the family of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, and the reward is immense. No doubt, reward is immense. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq, give you all the tawfiq, to all of us the tawfiq. And alhamdulillah, Amir of Ahl Sunnah, Damat Barakatul Aliyah, he also gives us this mindset that we should have certain portion of our wealth, we should take out, and which should be given as a hadiyah to Sadat-e Kiram. And when it comes to give hadiyah, gift to Sadat, Amir of Ahl Sunnah gives twice to the Sadat-e Kiram. And you see, if the noble thing is being distributed, he would distribute it. You see, one to one noble person, but if somebody would come who is from the progeny of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, it is a practice of Amir of Ahl Sunnah, a beautiful habit of our Shaykh Tariqat, that he presents
twice the share
to the subhanallah person from the family of the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. See, what would you say onto this beautiful practice of Amir of Ahl Sunnah, and what message we learnt, and anything else would you like to share?
This is one way from the loyalty and devotion that one has towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which drives a person to conduct such acts. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, the devotion, the love that he had for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, was second to none. And it is this loyalty, this devotion that drives a person to perform such acts. And then when we've determined the Sahaba are our guides, they are our leaders, then of course we will tread upon their footsteps. Now the people with the highest amount of taqwa, the people who are the guides of this nation, then Allah Almighty puts in there, instills in their heart to follow the footsteps of Sahaba Ikram Ali Muridwan. And then this chain of action then goes all the way up to the companions Ali Muridwan. And this is also seen from the practice of the Imam of Ahl Sunnah, the reviver of Islam, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullah Alayh, who would also practice the same, who would also give twice the share to Sadat-e Kiram. And Alhamdulillah, Amir Ahl Sunnat, he is also a true devotee of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullah Alayh, and this is also his practice. So again, this is the love and devotion that he has for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, for Sadat-e Kiram, that drives such personalities to go to this extent, where they look after Sadat-e Kiram to such an extent, and carries a great lesson for us as well, that we should also be devoted to Sadat-e Kiram, and Allah Almighty has blessed us financially, so we should also present some portion of our wealth as a hadiyah, as a gift in the bargah of Sadat-e Kiram. And we should feel privileged to have this honor, rather than thinking otherwise around. It is a karam, a favor of them upon us to accept our wealth. This is a gift from us, and it is their favor that they're accepting it from us.
And Wasim, you asked me one more point, which is, mashallah, mentioned in the same book, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf, radiallahu ta'ala, after mentioning this hadith where Rasulullah saw the prince Sayyidina Hassan and Hussein, Aslani Karimain, radiallahu ta'ala. Now, at that moment, we come to know that it was an optional, you can say the faqr which Rasulullah adopted. We mean that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is the zat for whom each and everything has been created.
Subhanallah.
If Rasulullah alayhi wasallam wished, he would have been the wealthiest
in
this world. Apparently in this world, he is no doubt leader of all the prophets, and he is no doubt the owner of this, the treasures of Allah this subhanahu wa ta'ala of this world and the hereafter.
Right?
And if he wished, even Uhud would become turn to gold for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the blessings, whatever one could imagine to enjoy in this world, Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam would have enjoyed if he would have just wished for a moment. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything for Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. All the treasures are there for the sake of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Lawlaka lama khalaqtu ad-dunya. Had Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam was not created, right, then this world would not exist. So the reason of this world, wajhi takhliqe kainat, is the zat of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam. But Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam opted, okay, to live a simple life, right? And there are reasons why, what ulama they have mentioned, because there is a huge, number of the ummah of Rasulullah who would live a normal life, right? Some would be poor amongst them also, right? They would not enjoy the luxuries of this world. So if those they had to follow Rasulullah is the best example, how would they follow? Had Rasulullah adopted wealthy life, right? So now wealthy people can also adopt, they can live a simple life, okay? And they can, even they have got wealth, but they can live a simple life and they can follow the footsteps of Rasulullah. And again, there is a comfort for those they are poor, for those they do not have, or you can say they are less fortunate ones. And they can look at the beautiful life of Rasulullah and struggles what Rasulullah faced throughout his life. Allahu Akbar, being the best example for all the ummatis, so they can also live that life. It is one of the reasons ulama they've mentioned. So we need to remember this point also in our mind. But again, when it comes to have wealth, it is also a blessing as long as it is earned through halal means, and then that wealth which has been earned from halal means is spent on
halal
ways.
Indeed.
And given in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all whatever necessities of the wealth are there, they are met. So then it is one of the greatest blessings one can, alhamdulillah, have, in order to make his abode in Jannah, to elevate his darajat, because the one will be wealthy if he spends in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gives sadaqat, khairat, helps the needy, helps the poor, then definitely he can also attain a proximity in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala was one of those wealthiest sahaba kiram who were blessed with the wealth in this world. But again, it also contains a dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam behind it. So what would you say about him being wealthy, him being businessman, and subhanallah, his ghina and his generosity? These are also beautiful, ample examples what we can follow from the life and legacy of Abdul Rahman bin Auf.
Subhanallah, Rizwan, we'll be talking about the wealth of Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu. And what happens normally is, we tend to move away from simplicity, as you were mentioning earlier. Now, the Prophet ﷺ's seerah, what it teaches us, simplicity. And rarely we'll find such people who, even after having wealth, would follow this very conduct of the Prophet ﷺ. Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu anhu, being one of the greatest businessmen in the history of the mankind, one of the biggest traders of his era, when we talk about his simplicity, it is stated that it was difficult to distinguish between who is the master and who is the servant.
Allahu Akbar.
when he was looked upon. It was difficult. It was difficult to distinguish between
the two.
Who is a master and who is a servant. This is how humble he was. This is how simple he was. So again, how much wealth he possessed, how much simplicity, despite that he had, is a great lesson for us and tells us that how humble we should be in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Respecting viewers, we will come back, we'll continue talking about this beautiful personality, Abdurrahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala an. But now, it's the time to include one segment, and that is words of wisdom. Let's include that segment. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions,
respected brothers, today this beautiful piece of advice, words of wisdom, we have collected from Madani Muzakara. It is mentioned that it is good to first place the blessed Quran in a new house. What should we place first in our new house? It is a good to first place the blessed Quran in a new house. Whenever you get an opportunity to move into a new house or you buy a new house, so what should you do? The first thing you should place in your house is the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. So inshallah, you will receive the blessings when the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter first, will be placed first. It will have its own barakas and blessings. You were saying, bhai, you were talking about Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala's generosity, his wealth, and how he, subhanAllah, used this blessing in terms of getting proximity in the court of Allah
subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu we were in particular talking about the financial support that he would render to Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiyallahu anhum, to the household of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We need to understand over here, Rizwan, that it wasn't only Abdurrahman bin Auf radiyallahu anhu, but other companions also did the same. They also served the family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But again, Abdurrahman bin Auf radiyallahu anhu is amongst those companions who stood out in this very regard as well. Once Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu anha, she said to the son of Abdurrahman bin Auf radiyallahu anhu, whose name was Abu Salma radiyallahu anhu, that once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his noble wives that after me, those who would look after you, look after your matter, will be none other than those patient people, those sabirin, who would adopt steadfastness upon your service, who would be steadfast in serving you. And then the narrator says that after this, Ummul Mu'mineen, she supplicated for my father in this way, that, O Abu Salma, may Allah satiate your father from the sweet water of the heavenly river Salsabil. Because Abdurrahman bin Auf radiyallahu he would serve Ummahatul Mu'mineen greatly through financial means. And once it is stated that the wealth that he gave as a gift to them, the total worth of it was 40,000 dinars when it was sold. And once he radiallahu anh, he gifted one garden for them, and the worth of it, Rizwan bhai, was 400,000 dirhams. Just under half a million dirhams.
Subhanallah.
This is how he radiallahu anh, would serve.
This is how he was generous.
Subhanallah, how he was generous. And in another narration, said the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, once he asked Abdurrahman bin Auf radiyallahu anhu, what is the reason that you've delayed in coming to me? Now he radiyallahu anhu, he respectfully answered that after you, I started to do accountability of my wealth, and because the wealth was a bit too much, that's why it took me a bit more time. And then he said that 100 animals full of provisions have come from Egypt, and all of them I give a sadaqah to the widows of Medina. There's only 100 camels loaded with goods. They come for a businessman, and he gives all of it
in the path of Allah.
In the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wow. Where would you find that heart? Where would you find such generosity Allah from? Allah. It wasn't for... This is to the widows of Medina. We're not talking about the service he would do. He would render towards Ummahatul Mu'mineen, towards the Ahlul Bayt al-Karam.
And other poor, needy people.
This was other general poor, needy people. Imagine if this was...
It was just specific for the widows. But indeed. There could be other also. Indeed.
If this was the state of his generosity for normal, ordinary widows of Medina, then imagine the extent of his service towards the noble household of the Prophet.
MashaAllah. Beautiful. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, we are talking about a great personality, Abdul Rahman bin Auf, radiallahu ta'ala, and a Sahabi Rasul from Ashara Mubashara. A Sahabi Rasul who got the glad tiding from the tongue of Rasul of Jannah in his lifetime. Inshallah, we'll continue talking about this great personality. Now it's the time to include one segment in our program. Let's include that, and that segment is the inshallah azawajal, did you know? Let's include that. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions radiyallahu anhum.
Ji, Wasim Basbi.
Ji,
the question, first of all, it's not very hard, but it's easy inshallah, but definitely many viewers will find inshallah informative. Which is the first revealed book?
Subhanallah, Torah is the first revealed book.
Torah is the first revealed
book. Subhanallah, the next question is related to this, that on which prophet was Torah revealed?
Ji, the Torah was revealed on Sayyidina Musa ala Nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Now, which book was revealed after Torah?
Subhanallah, it was Zabur that was revealed after Torah. And the question for you is that on which prophet was Zabur revealed?
Zabur was revealed on Sayyidina Dawood ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam.
Subhanallah.
Which book was revealed after Zabur?
Subhanallah. After Zabur, it was Injil. Injil al-Muqaddas that was revealed after Zabur. And now the question for you is, again related to Injil, that on which prophet was Injil revealed?
Yeah, Sayyidina Isa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. Injil was revealed.
Subhanallah.
Which is also known as Bible. Maybe some people could know this way. Jay, which is the last revealed book? Very simple and easy question.
Subhanallah. It is the glorious Quran, the Holy Quran.
Subhanallah.
And for you, Rizwan Bey, Subhanallah, on which prophet was the Holy Quran revealed?
Subhanallah. The leader of all the prophets, best of the creation, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the last messenger of Allah. The Quran was revealed on the final messenger. Final book on final messenger. Jai, respected viewers of Madani Channel, we were talking about Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala. And Jai, Vasim Basbi, when we were talking about Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf, we talked about the generosity, his ghina, and subhanAllah, how generous he was and how he would give in the path of Allah subhanAllah. There are a couple of examples, mashallah, you gave. I would like to just mention that, alhamdulillah, as far as his wealth is concerned, one of the reasons behind him being wealthy is also dua of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he gave to Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Anas radiyallahu ta'ala says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam gave dua to Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf, and he heard that.
Right.
Sayyidina Anas radiyallahu ta'ala says, I heard that Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam was giving dua to Abdul Rahman bin Auf. May Allah Azza wa Jal give barakah, blessings in your maal. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take your accountability easily on the Day of Judgment.
Allah.
May you make ease in taking your accountability. Allah subhanallah. So look at this, the beautiful dua in jama'iyyat, and how concise and brief in its meaning. And in its essence, comprehensiveness, it contains that Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam is giving dua for the betterment of his world, right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give barakah in your wealth in this dunya, and also the hisab on the Day of Judgment. And he gave this dua, may your hisab, your accountability is taken easily. Now, I can figure out the subhanallah, the comprehensiveness of this dua, that a person who will be wealthy, right? His accountability will take so long. As compared to a person who is not wealthy, who is poor. right? And it has been mentioned that there are a number of years before poor will enter into Jannah, and a person will be wealthy, he will be busy in giving Allah, accounts Allah, of his. Allah. Now the question is, whatever halal we earn, we have to give hisab on that. If anything is taken through haram means, there will be punishment, there will be adab on that. Hisab is upon the halal we are earning. And Rasulullah giving him a beautiful dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take
your account easily.
So this is the beautiful dua which was given. Probably this is one of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with so much of wealth, because it was dua of Rasulullah.
This also is one way, another Madani pearl we learn here, that the generosity of Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, the wealth of Allah that he gained, he spent it in the path of Allah. He was never reluctant in spending his wealth which Allah gave him in the cause of Allah. Now this again is something amazing for us to learn as well from, that Allah has given us, but when an appeal is made to spend in the path of Allah, then what is our state? Yeah. Allah has given us.
True.
You know, we will spend a lot of wealth on our own selves. True. The best of the gadgets we will buy, the best of the houses we want, the best of the cars we want. And through halal means, it's fine. We should. No problem at all. But when it comes to support the religion of Allah through financial means, through the wealth that Allah has given us, then what is our state? Then what is the state of our heart? Now it comes that, you know, it starts feeling a burden even if we do spend in the path of Allah. And then we complain that there's no barakah in our wealth. Mm. Then we complain that we don't see those blessings in our wealth. Then and blessings is not only in the form of quantity. We need to understand this.
True.
Quantity does not only entail barakah. There's so many other elements.
True.
But from the seerah of Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, we learn, and same with Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, many, many other elite personalities, the legends of Islam, we learn that the wealth that Allah has given you, spend it wholeheartedly, generously, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give more blessings in your wealth. Allah will give more peace in your life, which we strive for all of our life. Then Allah will, insha'Allah, give it to you in return. Now, at many occasions, is one way we see appeal is made. Alhamdulillah, Dawud Islami is making a masajid throughout the year. Dawud Islami is making madaris. Dawud Islami, the Madani channel that is being run. How much financially expenditure is involved in only running Madani channel. And there's so many other expenses of Dawud Islami that Dawud Islami needs to pay in order for these religious services to be rendered to the Ummah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. An appeal is made. The viewers of Madani channel watching at home, every single one of us need to reflect upon our state, that what is my state when it comes to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to donate to Madani channel, when it comes to donate for any fazan in Madina, when it comes to donate for Jamaat in Madina, so on and so forth. So Allah has given you, following the footsteps of Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, we shouldn't be stingy. We should give wholeheartedly in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we will see blessings in our life and in our sustenance, inshallah.
Definitely. Respecting views of Madani channel, following the legacy of Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf, if Allah has blessed you with wealth, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the wealth, you should come forward to support good causes, whatever and wherever it is possible, inshallah. And Dawat Islami is in front of you, doing a wonderful job. Many different departments, many walks of fields, alhamdulillah, making difference in many lives. Alhamdulillah, you can come forward and support your Dawat Islami through your generous donations, following the footsteps of Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala. Wasim, we were talking about the dua of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam, and how it helped Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala gaining barakah and blessings in his wealth. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala himself mentions the barakah and blessing of the dua of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahu Akbar. He says that whenever I pick up any stone, I've got the hope that underneath will be gold. Allahu Akbar. And this is the dua of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Because of that dua's barakah, that I hope that under this there will be gold and I will get it. Allahu Akbar. And respected viewers of Madani channel, this was the barakah and blessings of Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf. He received through the dua of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And it is mentioned that when Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala and departed from this mortal world, right, when he passed away, then his wealth, it was distributed in Taraka, right? At that moment, the inheritance, when it was distributed, then the gold, when it was distributed, Allahu Akbar, how beautifully he took the benefit of that maal which he had taken from the court of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salam and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we are talking about. Now, it's a time to include one segment in our program, and that is Hadith of the Day. Let's include that. We'll come back, we'll talk about this great personality again. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions radiallahu anhum.
Salah is a very important fard in our lives. Now, the companion, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, narrates that a person once committed a minor sin. He came to Allah's Messenger and mentioned it to him. This, meaning the 114th verse of Surah Al-Hud, was then revealed. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأقم الصلاة طرفي النهار وزلفا من الليل إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات ذلك ذكرى للذاكرين. Translation from the Kanz al-Iman. And keep salah established at the two ends of the day and in some parts of the night. Verily, good deeds erase evil deeds. This is advice to those who accept advice. The person asked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is this ayah specifically for me? Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, this is for all of my ummah. Simple. Praying the five times salah will erase the minor sins. Subhanallah. Very easy. We want to erase our minor sins, perform the five times salah. Commenting on this verse, Allama Sayyid Muhammad Na'imuddin Muradabadi rahimahullah has said, the two ends of the day refer to morning and evening, whilst the times before and after zawal are considered morning and evening respectively. Fajr is the morning salah, whilst the evening salahs are Dhuhr and Asr. The salahs divided between the parts of the night are Maghrib and Isha. Dear viewers of Madani channel, this shows that good deeds expiate minor sins. Whether it be salah, charity, engaging in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking forgiveness, istighfar, or anything else, doing these types of things, meaning performing salah, engaging in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving out charity, all of these are the ways to have our sins forgiven. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, forgive all our sins. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم.
Lives of the companions رضي الله عنهم.
Respected viewers of Madani channel, we were listening a beautiful hadith of Rasul عليه الصلاة والسلام, and today we are talking about Abdurrahman bin Auf رضي الله تعالى عنه. Azim Masmi, we talked about the zat of Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf رضي الله تعالى عنه, and his love for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, for the family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, for Ummahatul Mu'mineen, mother of the believers, and mothers of the believers, and then the way he used to serve, and the way he used to look after needy, the way he used to look after the widows of Medina, and then again, subhanallah, the way he would spend his maal in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We had various, subhanallah, narrations in this regard. Now, what would you like to share with viewers of Madani channel further?
The contemporary Sahaba, how they looked upon Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, subhanAllah. At many occasions we see that many elite companions, they also praised Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, the likes of the fourth caliph of Islam, the lion of Allah, Ali al-Murtaza,
subhanAllah ta'ala, bin
Kareem. He narrates that the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said that Abdurrahman bin Auf is a mean in the skies, in the heavens and in the earth. Denizens of the heavens, the heaven dwellers, and for the people of the earth. Who is Amin? An honest person, a trustworthy person. So he had this title, Amin. Now Rizwan Bey, if you look at this very account in itself, who was Mawla Mushkil Kusha Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem? For him to call Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu Amin is amazing. The knowledge that Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu
ta'ala. He was also given the title of Siddiq and Al-Bar. We learned pious and the one who is truthful, and now we learned that he was also amongst the trustworthy.
Ameen.
These are the beautiful titles, respective of Madani Channel. They were given by Rasulullah alayhi salam and by Sahaba Ikram. So one possesses such a beautiful personality, then he only gets
and
that.
And despite having wealth, you see.
Allah.
That is one way we've been talking about many attributes of Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, the element of generosity, the element of love for the Prophet, for the family of the Prophet. Now, how much fear for Allah he possessed.
Allah.
Allah, Allah. Now, this is again something unique that we find from a wealthy person. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, the fear of Allah he had. Now, once it is stated that food was presented before him, and that very day he was fasting.
Okay.
Now, seeing those luxurious, tasty, delicious blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he radiallahu anhu said that Sayyidina Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu has been martyred, whereas he was better than me and more deserving of reverence than me. And when he passed away, then the cloth that he had available for his shroud, it was such that if it was used to cover his head, then his feet would be
Allah,
revealed.
Allah.
And if his feet were covered, then his head would be uncovered. In Sayyidu Shuhada, Sayyidina Amir Hamza radiallahu anhu, when he was shrouded and buried, that very account itself is a great admonitory account for us. It carries great lesson of the Akhirah for us. And when he radiallahu anhu was martyred, then besides only one shawl, piece of cloth for his shroud, there was nothing else available for him. And then he says, and then there are people like us, upon whom this world has been opened, upon whom this world has been made vast. I fear, Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, he says, I fear lest we get the reward of our pious deeds in this very world. That in this very world, we are getting quickly the reward of our pious deeds that we perform. Saying this, he radiallahu anhu broke into tears, such that he didn't even realize there's food in front of them.
Allah.
Look at the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he possesses, despite having so much wealth, despite having such great dignity, such great majesty, such great awe. He's still remembering Amir Hamza radiallahu anhu, Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu. He's remembering the state in which they were. And then he would remember the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He would cry in the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He would talk about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He would think about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He would fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is like one personality having every single thing in him. When we talk about the loyalty of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, is one way. Once Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, he was in the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was distributing things to everyone. Now Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, he didn't get anything. Now he became a bit worried, because obviously getting anything from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would be beloved to anyone more than their lives. Now he radiallahu anhu, he sought permission from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, left his court, and on the way, Sir Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he saw Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu to be a bit, I wouldn't say upset, but not very, very in a pleasant mood. So he said, oh my brother, what's wrong with you? And Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu relayed him the whole account. And Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu goes in the court of the Prophet wasallam, asks him that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you didn't give anything to Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, because Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu thought that the Prophet wasallam may be angry with him. So Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet wasallam, were you angry with him that you didn't give him anything? And the Prophet wasallam said, I wasn't angry with him. Seeing his iman, I handed him over to his iman. Imagine, Rizwan bhai, that to everyone else the Prophet wasallam is giving blessings, but to Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, he says that seeing his iman, I handed him over to his iman. Which other blessing would be greater than this? There's so much to talk about Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, the love for the Quran that he has. The love, at one occasion, the Quran was being recited, people were shedding tears. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu wasn't shedding tears. And the Prophet said that the heart of Abdurrahman bin Auf is crying.
Allah.
You see, this is how much love for the Quran he had, the fear of Allah Almighty.
There's
he
so
had
much
the,
to follow.
So much to follow. That's one personality that is a great beacon of guidance for us from every single perspective that we can imagine.
Masha'ala.
And when we talk about his passing away from this world, Rizwan Bayr stated that it was either in 31 Hijri or 32 Hijri that he radiallahu anh passed away from this mortal world during the caliphate of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, the third caliph of Islam. And at the time of passing away, his age was either 72 or 75 years of age. And Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, he offered the funeral salah of Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu. And regarding the place of his burial, look at his honor and majesty. Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha sent him a message that if you want, then I can give you space next to your beloved ones, meaning the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, Umar Farooq radiyallahu anhu, because they are buried in the house of, in the chamber of Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu anha. And he radiyallahu anhu replied that I don't want to make your house more constraint for you, more I don't want to occupy more space in your house, and I've made a promise with Uthman radiyallahu anhu that wherever he is passed away, he would be buried next to his friend, i.e. me. So then after this, Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu was buried in Jannat al-Baqi, and Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, after he passed away, he was also buried in Jannat al-Baqi next to Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, and both these personalities are buried next to the best shrine of the beloved prince, the beloved son of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Ibrahim radiallahu anhu. May Allah Almighty shower His countless mercies and blessings upon Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu and forgive us all without accountability for his
sake. MashaAllah, beautiful perspectives of Madani Channel. Time doesn't permit us to carry on any further. Finally, a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I would like to end this program. أَفَّلُ مَنْ يَدْعُقُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مِنْ أَغْنِيَاءِ أُمَّتِي Abdurrahman ibn Auf.
SubhanAllah.
That amongst the wealthy persons of my ummah, the first one to enter into Jannah will be Abdurrahman bin Auf. As said by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us about in Jannatul Firdaus, and may we have the company of Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan and the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam too. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen. That's all for today. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel, with another beautiful topic, with another beautiful personality from inshallah azza wa jal to talk about. Keep watching Madani Channel, keep reciting Salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Lives of the companions radiyallahu anhum. Lives of the companions radiyallahu anhum.